You're listening to the OneofUs.net podcast network. OneofUs.net and all of the shows on it are 100% subscriber supported. Please consider becoming a subscriber to OneofUs.net. Keep the site and all of our great shows going and get some terrific bonus content as well.
Do you love sci-fi, horror, and fantasy films? Then grab a badge for Otherworlds Film Festival, the country's premier sci-fi film festival. There'll be Q&As, panels, parties, and mixers. Rub elbows with up-and-coming and established filmmakers, as well as like-minded filmgoers. Come celebrate our 7th year, December 3rd through 6th, at the Galaxy Highland in Austin, Texas. Badges are now for sale at OtherworldsFilmFest.com. That's OtherworldsFilmFest.com.
You know, podcasting is such a new thing. I don't think horror has really had an opportunity to take advantage of it yet, but I guarantee you, one day in the near future, you're going to see people making horror films about houses that are haunted by podcasters who used to live there. And they're going to be the worst kind of ghost. They're like, ooh, it's like, dude, it's 3 a.m, but I haven't told you my opinion on the Arrowverse yet. I don't give a fuck. Please go away. Ooh. Let me tell you why your favorite filmmaker is overrated. Ooh, it's like, Jesus, I hate these guys.
Your levels are spiking. Lean away from the microphone.
Your lighting is terrible.
You should have gotten the same microphone I bought off of Amazon, and every time you click on a link, we get an extra bonus point. It's like, oh my god, podcasting ghost would be the fucking worst.
This haunted house is brought to you by Squarespace.
If you're just moving into a new haunted house, perhaps you could use a purple mattress. They're the new mattress that everybody wants. It's like, oh my god. It's like the housing value would go so fucking low. It's like, so why is this house so cheap? It's like, okay, we got a great deal. It looks really nice. The school system is fantastic. Yes, but what's the catch? Did you see the pool? It's great. No, what is the catch? It's haunted by podcasters. Fuck it. We're leaving. Get in the car, babe. We're not signing this deal. Let's get the fuck out of here.
I hear that the Overlook Hotel is going for a cheap price right now.
You enter the home and it's haunted by Joe Rogan.
But at least he'll offer you weed, and better than Alex Jones, because then you'd just be hearing supplement ads all night long. You know what you need? You need some titanium zinc chloride for your system. These pills will make you strong like a bull.
You're just trying to go to bed and Mark Maron just won't stop bitching.
So podcasting ghosts would be horrible. I bring that up because it's not every day I see a horror movie that kind of takes a new slant on the haunted house genre. And we're here to talk about something that is a really interesting wrinkle on an old story. His House, a feature debut from director Remy Weeks. He's a British filmmaker, and he's put together this really fine cast of actors who may be recognizable to some of you from other BBC TV shows and dramas. It's the story of a married couple, Bol, played by Sopé Dirassou, and I apologize if I get these names wrong, and his wife Rial, played by Wunmi Masuka Mosaku.
You got it. Yeah. A for
yeah,
effort.
To get it right.
Well, B for
B, solid B minus. So anyway, they are two refugees from South Sudan. They have fled their country, which is in a civil war amongst various tribes. And they have managed to take the passage to the UK, where they apply for asylum. This is not a spoiler, because it happens within the first couple minutes of the movie. We see that their daughter did not survive the passage. And of course, being any normal parent, this is heartbreaking. But on top of that, you have two people who are completely isolated. They're away from their own country, lost in a new world that is very confusing and strange to them, and trying to work their way through a system that is very clearly designed for them to fail.
Absolutely.
They're given a public house. It's shitty, it's dirty, it's filthy, but it's yours. Here's a little bit of money every week. You can't leave the house more than necessary. You can't hold a job. You just have to follow all of our little rules, and then maybe we'll let you stay in the country. Maybe.
Maybe.
And then we see that there's a lot of tension in that relationship. To discuss this further with me, I'm joined by some not very annoying podcasters.
Liar!
Hopefully they won't haunt me one day.
Allegedly. Allegedly. Well,
Doggett will probably haunt me, but here he is, Doggett.
Doggett!
TC.
Hey, hey.
And Robert.
How's it going, y'all?
Hey, I really dug this movie. I thought it was a really interesting twist on an old genre. What were you guys thinking when you were watching this?
Well, I was really excited when we met the main villain of the film, Matt Smith.
No.
And he just looks at the couple. You guys will be fine as long as you show us you're one of the good ones.
It's this great microaggression of saying stuff like that. Because Matt Smith is out there as the social worker who's assigned to them to be like, hey, I want to see you make it through the system. And he's not so much the antagonist as just representative of the system that sucks.
Oh, yeah. Matt Smith's great. He's got a heart of copper.
Or just electrical wiring, I suppose.
You know, copper is very valuable. You can strip it out of old homes. And at some point, Bob literally does that because as he goes crazier and crazier, seeing more and more haunting visions, hearing things behind the walls, he takes it into his own hands to remodel the house rather roughly with a hammer. And if you have the home repair bug in you and you're watching this, you're going to be like, oh, dude, that's the total wrong way to fix that. Ooh.
It's got good bones.
And there probably may be bones in that wall.
Well, that's the thing. Their shared trauma of where they came from, how they got there, what they're going through now, and all this, a lot of symbolism, a lot of what's a dream, what isn't, what are these visions they're seeing, what are they hearing. I will say 100%, if you watch this, first of all, I'm going to definitely just jump to my point of view on this, that this is definitely worth watching. Watch it with your headphones on. The sound design in this is incredible. This movie sounds and feels amazing. There's tones in there. It's chilling. Like, I'm getting goosebumps thinking of some moments that were so affected by the sound design. As much as the great spooky, creepy visuals, this movie sounds scary.
It gets that bump in the night idea. Absolutely. It nails that.
You know, get chills. And
let's be clear. This is a hideous house. It's not a house per se. If you're thinking like a haunted house, this is basically an apartment. I think in the UK, they would call it a flat. It's part of a council estate. It's very clear that it is in a low-income neighborhood. And you know, the people in the area are very suspicious of refugees, newcomers. We see that even other people of color mock Rial for her African dialect and tell her, like, speak English, you know, go back to Africa. I think a real big tension between the two is that they both have this shared trauma. They're both dealing with survivor's guilt. Unlike most movies where it's like somebody's going, okay, this is all in your head, it's not really happening, they both understand that something is happening. They just deal with it very differently. She takes her sort of superstitious, her religion, her cultural background, she takes it very seriously, whereas Ball kind of tries to start a new life in a new country and is more quick to assimilate than she is in the hopes that he can kind of wipe that out of his mind, but of course, he never really can.
There's a beautiful moment that visually represents that, and there's amazing cinematography and visuals in this, but there's a beautiful moment where they're sitting in the kitchen eating, and his side of the wall is torn to shit, and he's eating with the silverware fully. This is our life now. I'm assimilated. And on the other side of the table, the wall is still clean behind her, and she's still eating with her fingers. And there's a very clear divide. They don't share the frame. It's this beautiful juxtaposition of his obsessive desire to put it all behind us, put it all behind us. And her is like, no, we can't put it behind us.
That is all true. But as the child of immigrants, the entire time I was staring at her like, will you chill the fuck out already?
One of the things I really dug, like you guys are saying, is that it's the familiar trope that we're seeing a lot more now, especially of the inability to escape grief. In some movies now, it's literally what's chasing you down the hallway to the thing that doesn't, you know, let you have peace. But it crosses this with this version of that that deals with the surrender of identity to external forces, not just with assimilation, but like we talk about with our main characters, the temptation in those kind of situations to go all in one way or the other. Either let's surrender and this is how it is, or no, it doesn't matter if that's what we've always known, we're not doing it anymore. And that we set up early enough in the film and keep it this way that the couple is not on the same path. I think is a tension you don't get in these films. Like you said, there's usually the family thinks mom's crazy, or the child is crazy, and no one else, but the husband is not immune to what's happening in this house. He's just choosing not to deal with it the way that his wife is, and both sides of it, I just think is so neat. More than effective, I think it's so interesting to be able to see stuff like this, because this isn't a movie, like you said, Marco, that we've got dozens of.
Now, this is definitely a new wrinkle. That alone would make it worthwhile. I mean, even if they didn't nail all the other stuff, you could at least go, okay, they're at least trying something new. And they're doing something that's relevant, that's topical, and has not really been used in the horror genre before. And of course, the horror genre has always been big enough to absorb any current event and find a way to turn it into entertainment. What this movie does, though, is not only does it stand apart for being unique in that regards, but it actually delivers the goods on being an effective horror story. Let's talk a little bit about the house, because unlike so many other movies, here the house isn't haunted. Usually the house is like something bad happened there, and that place looks pretty creepy. I'm sure some awful shit happened in that house once upon a time. But we realize that the trauma is something they've brought into the house. It's manifesting itself into the house, but I think that shit would have happened no matter where these two went.
I think that was cool, especially for the row housing or whatever specifically that this is called that they're living in. If you set this I'm not going to use the word generic in a bad way, but in a less specific haunted house movie, we get these cavernous houses with 30-yard hallways and things like this. And this is a small apartment. Well, it's not a tiny apartment, but it's an apartment. And I think that effective use of space was pretty impressive.
Yeah, again, that was just a great use of the space. You're absolutely right, because it's not your typical gothic haunted house. This is a rundown tenement apartment. It doesn't have any particularly interesting history. It's not comfortable. It's not pleasant. It's not the kind of place you would feel relaxed or safe. But as we stated earlier, they bring that horror to wherever. You could have put them in the Holiday Inn or the Ritz Hyatt or any fancy, nice place, and they still would have brought those ghosts with them.
I loved when the wife leaves the house. I guess it would be the first time when she's looking for the doctor's office. They do this really stark music with really low from the ground camera angles that really gave me the vibe from the original Candyman, when they're showing Cabrini Green and making these buildings that you would never have thought would be creepy. Like, oh my God, I don't want to go in that building. I thought that was really cool. There's not a lot of it, but I thought, when they did decide, because when they left the house, I was like, well, you know, how are we going to translate this? Some horror movies will put, you know, the onus completely on the house. But I love what they did, because save all of this supernatural stuff that may be going on, they're not really, you know, in a great geographic place. You know, it's really clear once they get out of their house that, you know, there's horrible stuff out there, too.
Yeah, especially when they sometimes leave the house and they find themselves someplace else where they shouldn't be. And it's very ambiguous where they are. You know they're in the UK. You don't know what town they're in. At one point, somebody mentions London and the guy says, yeah, I guess.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
You know, why not?
Good at places any.
But that doesn't confirm. So, yeah, they're completely lost. The only place these people... Doggett?
No, it's just, it sounds like how people, like, places near Austin. It's like, oh, that's Austin. No, that's Round Rock.
I'm sorry, that's Cedar Park, sir. The only place these people have ever felt at home, where they've ever belonged, was in South Sudan. And they had to leave it all behind. That just haunts every frame of this movie. We have to at least talk about maybe some criticisms. I'm sure you guys may have a few nitpicks here. For me, one of them was that it does drag a little bit. This is very much a slow burn type of film. You get some jump scares along the way, but this is really not a movie about jump scares. It's not a fun, quote unquote, horror movie where you're like, we're just going to get you worked up all the time. It's about dread and very often lingering too long on something rather than some quick smash cut to surprise you. As TC has pointed out already, the sound just kind of sucks you into this world. Yet there were times when I was kind of like, okay, I need something else to happen because you guys are just repeating beats. How many more times can we see this couple argue and state their points? Eventually, we need some forward momentum to get the story going. And that comes in the form of the witch. There's a real big question talking about ambiguity of space, whose house it is. I mean, the name of the movie is His House. I thought they were moving into somebody's house and the ghost of the guy who was used to live there wasn't happy about some refugees living in his house because it's his house. Turns out that's not the case. With Rial being very religious and being having a lot of faith in her local customs, she believes in something called an Apeth, a witch who will seek retribution upon you. And she tells a parable about a poor man who stole things that were not his so that he could make his own house. And he stole from this witch. And when he made the house, the witch moved in with him and drove him mad until, you know, ghost would devour him. It's an allegory, to be sure. And it turns out to be a little bit more literal than that. Because I thought that's where this was going the whole time. I'm like, this is just an allegory for grief, for trauma, for survivor's guilt. But it ends up, you know, in that third act is when it really starts to become a horror movie.
Yeah, yeah. It honestly takes till about halfway through for them to really kick it off. Like, there's some creeps and some spooky jump scares just here and there. That's about the 45-minute mark or so, because this is a tight 90-minute movie. You're not wrong, Marco. It does drag in a few spots. But once it gets kicking at about the halfway point, everything amps up, including, I've mentioned the visuals already. There's that set piece right off that I mentioned earlier where they're at the table. And then it pulls back and he's in the ocean. And just once it gets about that halfway point, it kind of keeps on trucking for the rest of the film.
Yeah, the imagery of drowning is just all throughout this movie in ways both literal, symbolic, suggestive. And in that final act, we get to learn a lot more about Ball and Rial. And you realize that they're dealing with some bigger shit, some bigger issues than even they are willing to acknowledge.
No, the script does this amazing job of taking the audience, not leading the audience by their hand. You look at other standard haunted house movies. A lot of those movies tend to handhold the audience and be like, okay, now here's the, ooh, and then you get to understand this because this is the cliches. This movie's like, just pay attention. The information will come. It might be symbolic. But by the time you're into that, the latter half, the near the climax of the movie where they drop the explanation for why they're being haunted, it's really, really smartly crafted. And it doesn't treat the audience stupid.
Well, I was going to say that, you know, after the haunting of Bly Manor, this doesn't seem that slow. It's like a 90-minute movie. It's like, this moves along as fast as it needs to for the story it's telling. And this is like an African gothic story almost. Whereas, like, it's very much directly tied to, like, past actions they did in their home country while they're leaving their home country. And it's very, very just, how do I put it?
It's a gut punch when you realize what they really had to do
to
get to this country. I was kind of a little annoyed at Matt Smith. It's not his fault. I kept thinking, why did they put this well-known actor in what is essentially an extended cameo? I kept waiting for him to be a bigger part of the story.
It's Doctor Who.
I'm like, yeah, come on, man. I need the Doctor to come save you guys.
Wait, in this black horror movie, you expected the pale, pasty British dude to be like a more prominent character?
No, but I thought he was going to be more of an antagonist, to be honest.
Yeah.
You thought the twist was going to be it was his house?
It's one of those cases where it was more distracting because it was such a well-known actor. Like, you could have put anybody in that role.
It feels more like a red herring, if anything, because I similarly was waiting for him to be the turn of the villain. I even thought the first time we start seeing the ghosts, especially the witch himself, I thought, is that Matt Smith in makeup? It's not. For a moment, I thought that's what they were going to play with there.
I mean, I never thought he would be like the supernatural cause of all this. I just thought he would be more like that guy at the end of Poltergeist who turns out like, oh, I built all of this on top of like a burial ground and I kind of never told anybody.
Oops.
But the one thing that he does really well is there is a moment where he and Ball are having a conversation, and Ball used to be a banker back in the Sudan. And the Matt Smith character, who's the social worker, says, well, you know, I used to work in a bank, too, until all of our jobs got moved out overseas. And now you guys are moving into a house that's actually bigger than mine.
Sometimes we all end up in places we didn't expect, something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. But beneath the bland sort of bureaucratic professional tone, there's this undercurrent of resentment and entitlement of you people come to this country and you get a house and you get money and you get everything and we're fucked, the people who live here. Whereas Rial, from her perspective, she looks at the English and she thinks, you know, these people are too lazy, they're too scared, they're too bored to know how good they fucking have it. They've never had to do what we've had to do. And it's this sort of class struggle that kind of manifests itself as yet another theme in the movie, because Matt Smith isn't the only guy. When every time one of the social workers walks into the house to inspect it, they're like, this is bigger than my place.
It's bigger on the inside.
And it goes beyond them, because even when Ball goes to the mall to get a new shirt and pants, and we see that moment where he's comparing himself to the Caucasian man on the wall, the second he appears in that scene, the security guard starts following him around. And the security guard is always just at the edge of frame.
And then they never show the security guard, which I thought was such a cool idea, because it's for you to know that it's there, whether he noticed it or not. It's to paint his reality for you.
Yeah, because, I mean, the reality is that Ball is the kind of guy who's going to work so damn hard to assimilate, but this culture is never going to completely accept him. Rial seems to understand that, but Ball doesn't. There's a wonderful moment where he finds himself in a pub. He sees this mixed race of locals who are chanting a football song while watching a match on television, and he just joins along. It's a simple, dumb song. And for a brief moment, you see how happy he is that these people are accepting it. I mean, there's a lot of good things to talk about this movie, and I think we're at the point now where we might risk going into spoilers, and I don't want to have that happen. So why don't we start into our final thoughts? Robert, would you lead us off, please?
I think this film reminded me of Tigers Are Not Afraid, in that it's using magic or supernatural realism. We're shooting a real world that's slightly different, but our story's setting is taking that magical world and setting it in real life, current day, actual horror. And it's something that to me was done that not only is it authentic, but I think it's really welcome in the genre. I think pain made manifest is really powerful when it's delivered with the right balance. And I think this did it. I really like the composite shots. The music was sparse, which I think was a good decision to make with this story so that we didn't go more emotionally one way or the other. As far as criticisms, like you said, Marco, I think there is something in the middle where it feels like a little long or that it's stretched. I just think maybe the reason I'm going to give it an 8 out of 10 is just that even when it feels like that, all I was doing sitting in those moments was thinking about what had happened. And if that's what they were engineering those spots to do, I really liked it. So I'm going to go 8 out of 10.
TC?
I'm right there with Robert. I don't like horror. That is not my genre. When I go into a horror movie, I'm not going in with a chip on my shoulder of like, I hate this. But I go in with a very scrutinizing eye because of the tropes, because of the cliches. So I'm always blown away when someone can find a new way to tell a story like this. This is like Parasite. This is like The Babadook. This is taking horror very seriously and not just giving you the same old hat. This is an exploration of trauma, of joint trauma. It is an immigrant story that, though it's Sudan to the UK, that you could definitely apply to a lot of immigrant stories internationally. It is stunningly shot. The sound design on this is fantastic. The performance in this performances in this are raw and real, and the fact that this is a debut is a stunning debut. This is 8 out of 10 for me as well. I particularly coming in not particularly liking horror as a genre, this is beyond that. This is elevated beyond just your standard horror movie, and I highly, highly recommend. I feel like Netflix, this would be one for them to push come Oscar season. I know we're entering Oscar season. And they, when you look at some of the stuff they've pushed before Beast of the Southern Wild comes to mind, they're unlikely. They have some unlikely success with their Oscar bait movies, unlike The Irishman or Marriage Story. This seems like something that I feel like, given a chance, this is beautifully shot, beautifully performed, beautifully designed, top to bottom. 8 out of 10 for me.
Doggett?
Yeah, I agree with all you guys. I really like this. I dug this. This is a cool little horror story that I like to watch. I'm gonna watch this again with the whole family. This does take the what is already a horror story, which is what happens when you're a refugee going into another country, which is fucking terrifying. It reminds me, they're like taking stock of everything against them. It reminds me like that scene from Attack the Block where they're like, well, we got aliens and we got police downstairs and gangsters ready to get us. Over here, it's like, okay, we got ghost, immigration, the white Brits, the black Brits, everybody's after us. And it created a lot of good tension for me. And I really enjoyed it. I'm going to give this 8 out of 10. Really good spackling.
That was some really good spackling.
Overnight. I mean, come on now.
For the horror genre, this is a cut above. A lot of horror films can just be entertaining, and that's all you want them to be. And they're fine. They're a good time. You sit back, you enjoy the movie. This is one of those movies that asks a little bit more of you. I don't think it asks in terms of, like, it's inaccessible or hard to follow. I think it's very simple. It's a very straightforward story and very well shot and designed. The two best special effects in this movie are the actors. Mm-hmm. You absolutely believe they are a married couple who have been through hell together, who clearly love one another, but are struggling through what they have experienced together and how that threatens their friendship, their relationship, their marriage. Everything about this couple is at risk right now. And they are totally isolated. They are totally lost and adrift. They might as well still be on that boat drifting in the ocean because they are trapped together in this little house and with their memories. And it is a haunting film, as it should be, given its subject matter. I have to give this 8.5 out of 10 knives that appear out of the darkness.
Knives.
Because that was a great shot. Anyway, I'm going to go ahead and get ready to go do another review, but I will haunt all of you in your dreams.
Squarespace, purple mattresses,
25% off.
Blue pill. Don't forget to like, share, and subscribe.